All God's people said. Well, that's the gospel, is it not? That's it. Well, bus church is on its way out, so if you're in bus church, follow Mrs. Reese back there if you would please. The rest of us, let's take our Bibles and turn to the John's Gospel, John chapter 16. You need a copy of the Word of God this morning, raise your hand if you would please. Our ushers will make their way down and give you a copy of the Word of God. And if you don't have a Bible, we want you to be able to look on, so just raise your hand if you would, please. Don't be shy about that. Just hold your hand up. Our ushers will be coming. Michael, Brother Michael, come up if you would, please. Need some more up here. Carlton, if you would. A couple more over here on this side. Oh, there we go. Hang on to those Bibles, guys. All right. John chapter 16, if you would, please. John chapter 16, page 1139. If you're using one of our Bibles, page numbers are up on the top there. And Robert needs one there, okay? There you go, Robert. All right, good. John chapter 16, if you would please. John 16. You'll find out tonight Robert's been given a new name, and it's Hurricane, all right? And Brother Batson will explain that tonight. He's the one that duped that, all right? And he started talking about a hurricane out there, and I thought Brother Batson was serious. And I thought we had a hurricane on the way, you know? I mean, the wind was blowing bad enough that night. I thought we had a hurricane on the way, and he said, no, it's Robert. So anyhow, he'll share why tonight. John chapter 16, if you would, please. John chapter 16. Lord willing, we want to finish up our study on this important chapter here this morning. And as we're going to see, John chapter 16, although it's telling us a story about Jesus and his disciples, there's some things in there that really relate to life as life really is. You know, life as it is full of trouble and trials. You found that out? And Jesus' disciples are going through some trouble and some trials, and he's teaching them, he's giving them some spiritual resources to help them during that time. We're going to look at that here this morning. So if you've got your Bible open, we like to stand out of respect for the Word of God. John chapter 16, if you would please. In verse 33, John chapter 16, in verse 33, I appreciate all you guys having your Bibles open and looking down at that verse with me this morning. John chapter 16 and verse 33, you too, Justice. You're not a guy, but appreciate you having that open, all right? In verse 33, look what the Bible says. In John chapter 16 and verse 33, these things I've spoken unto you, Jesus says, that in me, look at what he says there, you might have what? Peace. So all the things he said in this chapter, he said to his disciples that in him they might have peace. But notice what he goes on to say. He says, in the world ye shall have tribulation. You're going to have trouble and have problems. But he says, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Let's pray. Father, we come before you this morning and we need a fresh anointing of thy Spirit. Father, we need you through the Holy Spirit of God to bring life to your word. We thank you, the Lord, that it is a living word, not a dead word. And Father, we come this morning with hearts that need to be spoken to. We need you to speak to us today. We need you to work in our lives. There's some here, Lord, that are discouraged and their spirits need to be lifted. There's some here, Lord, that have grown weary in their race and they need to be encouraged to hold up that shield of faith and keep running with patience. There's some here this morning, Father, that may not know you. They may not have the assurance of salvation, of knowing they're going to heaven when they die. They need Christ. I pray, Lord, that you would help the gospel to be clear. I pray that your word would go forth in your power. Work in our hearts and lives this day, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I think most of us here this morning, especially us adults, have lived long enough to realize that life is not always easy. Come to experience that, haven't you? Life is not always easy. We have bills to pay. We have pressures at work. We have broken things to fix. We've got children to raise. Might say that about 5-6 times. It's a challenge, isn't it? It really is. Health issues to face. Many of us have burdens to bear in life. There are all kinds of demands that are placed upon our time, and we all face trials. So indeed, life is not easy for any of us. And trials are a common lot in life. And yet Jesus said in John chapter 16 and verse 33, These things I have spoken unto you, that in me, in Christ, you might have what? Peace. He said, now I know in the world you're going to have tribulation. The word tribulation there just simply means trouble. I know in this world you're going to have trials. I know you're going to have afflictions. You're going to have problems. You're going to have difficulties that you're going to go through and you're going to face. We all have them. The question is, how do we respond to them when they come our way? Jesus said to his disciples, fellas, I'm telling you these things because in me I want you to have peace. He says, I know you're going to have troubles, but he says, I want you to be of good cheer. Because he promises, I have overcome the what? The world. I've overcome the world. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. In this chapter, in John chapter 16, Jesus gives his disciples four resources that he gives to every child of God to help us through the trials and difficulties of our lives. Some of these things we've already covered, so I'll just mention them real briefly. First of all, one of the great blessings in our lives that helps us through the trials of life is the fact that you and I have the third person of the Godhead, or the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit of God, living inside of us. And that is a great blessing for us who are God's people. That's found here in John chapter 16 and verses 12 through 15. Notice in your Bibles, please, verse 12. Jesus says to his disciples, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, notice the Bible says, when he, the Spirit of truth is what? Come. Then he, the Holy Spirit, he's going to guide you into all what? Truth. For he'll not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he'll show you things to come. Verse 14, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. And then verse 15, all things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and show it unto you. Now we've already covered that portion of John chapter 16. I'll not spend a lot of time on it this morning. Just to point out, it's a tremendous blessing to know that no matter what trial you're going through, no matter what testing you're facing in life, if you're here this morning and you're a child of God, you're not alone. You've got the Holy Spirit to guide you. You've got the Holy Spirit to direct you. You know, the Lord promised to the nation of Israel in the book of Isaiah that through their troubles and through their trials that He would be with them. I want you to take your Bibles and hold your finger here and go with me to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 43, it's on page 751. And go with me to Isaiah chapter 43, and I want you to see that here in the Old Testament, the children of Israel, the nation of Israel, represented the people of God in the Old Testament. They were God's chosen people. Sometimes we refer to them as God's earthly people. And God promised to the nation of Israel that He would be with them through their trials and through their testings and through their difficulties in life. And notice how He phrases it here in Isaiah chapter 43, page 751. Page 751. In Isaiah chapter 43, I want you to notice, if you would please, in verse 2, this is God speaking to the nation of Israel. And He says here in Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 2, He says, when thou passest through the what? Through the waters. Notice He promises. He says, I'm going to be what? I'm going to be with thee. I'll be with thee. And He says, and through the rivers, they're not going to overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Well, why could they believe that? Because the Lord's saying, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be with you through the water. I'm going to be with you through the floods. I'm going to be with you through the fire. I'm going to be with you through the trials. Notice He says in verse 3, He says, for I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel. And then notice what He says. I'm your what? I'm your Savior. I'm the one to deliver you from all of those things in life. Well, that's a promise to the nation of Israel. Do you realize that God has made us a similar promise in the New Testament? Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Hebrews, if you would please. While still holding your place in John 16, go with me to Hebrews chapter 13. The book of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 13, page 1304, please. In the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 13, the Lord has given us a similar promise. And in Hebrews chapter 13, notice if you would please, in Hebrews chapter 13, in verse 5, in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, the Bible says this, Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. Now look what the Bible says. For he, the Lord, has said, look what God has said to us, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Read that phrase with me, starting with the word I. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Then verse 6 goes on to say this, so that we may boldly say, hey, the Lord's never going to leave us. He's never going to forsake us. You might be going through some difficult times. You might be going through some very trying times in your life. And you're wondering where God is. He's there with you. He hasn't left you. He hasn't forsaken you. And verse 6 says, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my, look at it now, he is my what? Helper. And I'll not fear what man shall do unto me. You know, we have a blessing in our lives. Although we go through trials and testings and difficulties of life, that's a common lot in life, we've got the Holy Spirit living inside of us. And the Holy Spirit is there to guide us into all truth. And not only is he there to guide us into all truth, but the Holy Spirit is referred to as the Paraclete in the Bible. And that word just simply means that he's one to come alongside us and to help us through our trials. As I think about somebody coming along and coming beside us to help us through our trials, I think of Brother Chris over here. Brother Chris, come help me just a moment if you would please, okay? And I think of Brother Rick over here. And Brother Rick, come help me for just a moment if you would please. And then I think of Brother Batson as well. So Brother Batson, come up and help me just for a moment. And you know, you ladies are very interested in knowing what we guys do when we go camping. And we can't tell you everything we do. But some of the things we do is nonsense, okay? Brother Rick is a good example of that. And that didn't come out right, brother. One of the things we do is we go running through the woods when it's pitch black. Okay, that was not it. And every once in a while you hear a thump. He's either tripped and he's come face down on the ground, or tripped on a rock and he's run into a rock. Right, Robert? That's right. Or for some reason or another, because he's running 90 miles an hour, he didn't see the tree in front of him. Brother Rick participated in these nonsense games Friday night. He barely made it back to camp. What he needed was a paraclete. He needed a Brother Chris and he needed a Brother Steve to come alongside him. Put your arm around these guys. There you go. All right. And he needed to be able to lean on their shoulders as he came limping into camp. Go ahead and limp into camp, Brother Rick.
It's not fake.
Yeah. You get the point of what Brother Batson is doing there and what Brother Chris is doing? Yeah? They've come alongside their brother. And what are they doing? They're helping their brother. That's what the Holy Spirit is for us. Thank you, fellas. You got him that far back. He can go the rest of the way. Right? That's what the Holy Spirit is to us. He's one that is our paraclete. He comes alongside us. He's there to support us. He's there to help us. He's there to carry us. See, we're not left to ourselves in our trials and in our testings. The Lord gives us some spiritual resources. Now, the world doesn't have this spiritual resource. That's why the world will often turn to alcohol to try to kill the pain. They'll turn to drugs to try to kill the pain in their lives, and not always illegal drugs. You know, we got a lot of psychiatrists that are issuing drugs to people, and all they're doing is trying to kill the pain in life. And I say this morning that as a Christian, we don't need the pills, we don't need the alcohol, we don't need the drugs. We don't need all the psychotherapy, and we don't need all the help groups. We got the Holy Spirit of God living inside of us, and he is right there to come along and take us and carry us through our trials in life. Yes, that's the Holy Spirit. We have spiritual resources through which to face our trials. We're not going alone in this world. The Lord says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my what? I'll not fear what man shall do unto me. So understand here this morning and get it down, folks, because if you're not going through a time of trial now, It won't be long until you will be. Because trials are our lot in life. Jesus said to his disciples, "In this world ye shall have tribulation." You're going to have troubles down here. But I haven't left you alone. You've got the Holy Spirit. He's never leaving you. He's your comforter. See, that's the paraclete. He's your comforter. Look over in John chapter 14 real quickly, if you would please. The Gospel of John in John chapter 14, where it speaks of the Holy Spirit being our comforter. And notice in John chapter 14, in verse 16, the Bible says this. In John chapter 14 and verse 16, it says, "And I will pray the Father, and He'll give you another what? Comforter." See, He's talking about the Holy Spirit. And He goes on to say this in verse 16. He says, "That He may abide with you." Now look at this. How long? Forever. So when the Holy Spirit comes in you at the time of salvation, He is there with you. He's going to walk with you throughout your entire life. You don't have to say, "I'm going it alone." Even verse 17, look at it now. Even verse 17 says, "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be," what? "In you. I'll not leave you," what? "Comfortless. I will," what? "Come to you." See, we don't have to learn the coping skills of the world. I said we don't have to learn the coping skills of the world. We got the Holy Spirit of God with us. And He's never leaving us. So we've got some spiritual resources to turn to. Jesus says, "I've spoken these things to you, that in me, disciples, you might have peace." Remember, at that point in time in their lives, they weren't experiencing peace. They were experiencing sorrow and brokenness of heart. And Jesus said, "In the world, you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world." Now go back to John chapter 16. I want you to see a second resource that the Lord has given us. We're just thinking about resources that we have to face our trials in life. Our second resource is faith in the victorious Christ. Faith in the victorious Christ. And we saw that last week in verses 16 through 22, where Jesus was talking to His disciples and saying, "A little while you're going to see me, a little while you're not going to see me." And they didn't understand what Jesus was saying. And then we came down to verse 20, where He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be," look at it now, verse 20, "ye shall be," what? "Sorrowful." But notice Jesus says, "But your sorrow shall be turned into" what? And what event was going to take place that was going to turn their sorrow into joy? It was the resurrection. It was Jesus' resurrection. See? And their sorrow that they were then going to was going to be turned to weeping and lamenting. They're going to see their master taken and killed on a cross. His body's going to be placed into a tomb. And they're going to think for a while, "It's all hopeless. We've given our lives for this." But then 3 days later, Jesus coming out of the tomb. Amen. And their weeping was turned to joy. And what did the Bible say, as we saw it last week? A joy that no man taketh what? Yeah, no man takes away. They can, a lot of things can be taken from us. Our money can be taken from us. Our property can be taken from us. Our candy, Tony, can be taken from us. Right? A lot of things can be taken from us. But one thing that can never be taken from us is the joy of knowing the triumphant, risen Christ. And I want you to know that it's Jesus' resurrection that has guaranteed you and I every element of victory we'll ever understand in our lives. If you and I understand any element of victory in our lives, it's through a risen Christ. It's through a risen Christ. Is an interesting verse. I want you to see this real quickly this morning. We're not going to spend much time on this because we spent time on it last week. But look with me in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Over to your right. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, page 1231. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. You know, sometimes we get overwhelmed with our burdens, and I understand the burdens of life, and I understand being overwhelmed, but you know, when we get overwhelmed with our burdens, we just need to begin to think about the resurrected Christ that we've got and the victory that we have in Jesus and the fact that one of these days that, you know, this world's going to be a thing of the past and trials are going to be a thing of the past. When we get to heaven, there's no more trials. Amen? Dr. Hudson used to say you can take a lot on your trip when you know what, it's the end of your journey. Or you can take a lot on your journey when you know what's at the end of your trip. And we as Christians know what is at the end of ours. To be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. And as we're present with the Lord, boy, will we ever understand the victory that's been won through the resurrected Christ. But God wants us to understand something of that victory now. But thanks be to God, which giveth us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And here in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse we don't think of very often, but maybe we need to think of it a little bit more. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, the Bible says, now thanks be to God. Now look at this. Which sometimes causes us to triumph in Christ. Doesn't say that, does it? It says, thanks be to God. Now thanks be to God, which causes us to which always causes us to triumph in Christ. Amen. And maketh manifest the Savior of His knowledge by us in every place. You know, the Bible teaches that we can always triumph in the Lord Jesus Christ. Very worst day for a child of God on this earth is a whole lot better than the very best day for a person who doesn't know the Lord. Because even in our worst days, we can triumph in who? Christ. We need to exercise that faith in the victorious Christ. God's given us some resources to face our trials. The Holy Spirit within, the victorious Christ. Now go back to John chapter 16, if you would please. I want to spend some time on this one this morning. The third resource that we have is the resource of talking to our Heavenly Father. The privilege of talking to God in prayer. Or as Jesus says it here in John chapter 16, the privilege of talking to God the Father in the name of Jesus. That's verses 23 through 26. Look down in your Bibles if you would please. Verse 23, it says this, and in that day, he's talking to his disciples. He says, in that day ye shall ask me nothing. You're not going to ask me anything. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the who? The Father in my what? Name. Look what Jesus said. He'll give it to you. He'll give it to you. And he goes on in verse 24, he says, hitherto, which means up to this time, have you asked nothing in my what? Name. But now he says, ask and ye shall what? What's he saying to them? Start asking the Father in my name, and you're going to receive. And he says that your joy may be what? Full. And then verse 25, he says, these things have I spoken to you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day ye shall ask in my what? Name, and I say not unto you, that I will pray the Father for you. See, Jesus was saying to his disciples, hey, fellas, you've gone through some tough times, but listen, you've got the Holy Spirit to guide you. And this sorrow that you're experiencing right now, it's going to be turned to joy. And when it's turned to joy through my resurrection, man, you're going to have a joy that no man will ever be able to take from you. You don't have to learn coping skills. Live out Christ. Live in the faith of the victorious Christ. And then learn to pray. Pray to the Father. Pray the Father in my name. Which really brings me to a simple question here this morning. All you guys need to think about this. What is prayer? What is prayer? You ever thought about that, Philip? What is prayer? What is prayer? Well, Dr. Rice said prayer is asking and receiving. And certainly we could take this passage of Scripture and support that idea, could we not? Because Jesus says in verse 24, he says, whereunto have you asked nothing in my name? So he says, ask and ye shall what? Receive. So that's a good simple definition of prayer. Prayer is asking and what? Receiving. I like this definition of prayer. Not that that one's wrong, because it's not. I like the idea that prayer is simply a child of God talking to his Father who's up in heaven. Prayer is a child of God talking to his Father who's up in heaven. You see, all prayer is based upon the fact that you have a relationship with God whereby you can call him your Father. If you can't call God your Father, you have no basis of relationship for prayer. Look over in Luke chapter 11, if you would, please. Luke chapter 11. Just over to your left a little bit. In Luke chapter 11, page 1089. Look with me here in Luke chapter 11, in verse 1. Page 1089. In Luke chapter 11 and verse 1, the Bible says this. In Luke chapter 11 and verse 1, the Bible says, it came to pass that as he, Jesus, was praying in a certain place, when he stopped praying, one of his disciples said unto him, now this is a very important question. One of the disciples came to the Lord and said, Lord, teach us to what? Pray, as John also taught his what? Disciples. So the disciples come along and say, well, Lord, would you teach us to pray? We've seen John's disciples pray. Would you teach us to pray? And so Jesus begins to teach them about prayer. And he says, okay, guys. He says in verse 2, he said unto them, when you pray, say this. Look what he said in verse 2. How do you begin your prayer? Our what? Father, which art where? In heaven. Why can you pray? Because God's your what? Father. God's your Father. Now, you may be here this morning and not really certain that God is your Father. How do you get God to be your Father? How does God become your Father? I mean, I've got an earthly dad on this earth. I know who he is. How do I get God to be my Father? Well, you get God to be your Father the same way that your parent dad became your Father. And God becomes your Father by birth. Has everybody got that? He becomes your Father by what? Birth. Let's go to John chapter 3, and real quickly we'll take a look at this. In John chapter 3, just as you were born physically into your father's family, we must be born spiritually into God's family. And in John chapter 3, Jesus is speaking to a man by the name of Nicodemus in page 1117. And in John chapter 3, notice what the Bible tells us about Nicodemus. In verse 1, it says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Now verse 3, look in verse 3. Everybody's got to get this. In verse 3, it says this, Jesus answered and said unto him. Now look what he said in verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, look at it now, except a man be, look at it, be what? Born again. He cannot see the kingdom of. So in order to go to heaven, the Bible's teaching here, you've got to have a second birth. You've got to be born again. Now everybody here this morning has been born physically. If you have not been born physically, you wouldn't be here. So everybody got that? Got that, Frank? If you hadn't been born physically, you wouldn't be here this morning. That seat would not have Frank in it. Because Frank wouldn't be here. Because you hadn't been what? Born. To be here, you've got to be what? Born. Now, Frank, you were born into your father's family. Your dad is your what? Father. We want God also to be our Father, do we not? And if we want God to be our Father, how's God going to become our Father, Chauncey? Well, right now we're talking about by what? Just as you were born into your father's family, you've got to be what? You've got to be born into God's family. Okay? Now, you're correct in the other answer you gave me, but right now we're talking about being born. All right? We got to be born into God's family. Jesus says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of what? God. Now, verse 4. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Well, we know the answer to that. No way. That's not going to happen. Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the what? He cannot enter the kingdom of God. And what Jesus was saying there is you got to have two births. Your first birth was a birth of water. Now you got to have a second birth of the Spirit of God. Because that which is born of the water is of the, or that which is born of the flesh is flesh, verse 6. And that which is born of the Spirit is what? Spirit. And verse 7 says, marvel not that I said unto you, you must be what? Born again. So if you're here this morning, and you don't really say, I know God is my Father, there's a spiritual birth that's got to take place in your life. Now that spiritual birth takes place in your life, as Chauncey said, if you didn't hear him, by believing. By believing on Jesus Christ to save you from your sin. John 3:16 in this verse, chapter says this, for God so loved all that he gave his only begotten, that whosoever what? Believeth in him should not what? But you would have what? Look up here and let me illustrate this real quickly. Letting this hand represent you and I here this morning, and letting my wallet represent our sin. How many of us have sinned? We all have. The Bible says, for all have what? Sinned and come short of the glory of God. So I place the wallet on the hand. Remember, the hand's representing who? No. Us. Not God. God doesn't have sin on him, Brother Michael. All right? This is representing us. The wallet's representing sin. So where's the sin? It's on us, not on God. All right? So we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. God says there's a penalty for that sin. And God says the wages of sin is what? Death. So if you and I got what we deserved, we would die and be eternally separated from God forever. Right? You know, the Bible also says to go to heaven, you'd have to be perfect. Or maybe we ought to say, yo. Whoa. Wait a minute. Got to be perfect to go to heaven? I'm not perfect. But heaven's without sin. And God's a holy God. And God can't allow sin into his presence. We've got to be without sin to go to heaven. But we're what? We're not. We're sinners. And God says the penalty for sin is what? Death. Well, people hear that and they think, well, I better work really hard to make up for my sin. Man, I better be real good this week. So they start to be real good and they think being good's going to pay for their sin. But you know what? God says the wages of sin is what? Then people say, well, I'll go to church. That'll be happy with me. I'll go to church and that'll make up for part of my sin. Yet God says the wages of sin is what? Death. Then some people say, well, I'll get baptized. God, that ought to make God happy. I'll get baptized. That'll take care of it. Well, wait a minute now. God says the wages of sin is what? Death. He says there's nothing we can do that will pay for that sin. Now look up here and get this. Letting this hand represent Jesus Christ. He's God who took on flesh. He loves you and I, but he hates our sin because our sin separates us. Well, he loves you and I so much. Get this now. You've got to get this. He loves you and I so much that he was willing to come to this earth. What did he do with our sin? He took it off of us, and he paid for it in full on the cross. Then he was buried and rose again the third what? Day. You know what Jesus Christ wants to do? Look up here and get this for a minute. He wants to take your sin off of you. And he wants to take his righteousness and give it to you. We don't go to heaven because we're righteous. We go to heaven through the righteousness of Christ. The Bible says, for he, God the Father, made him Christ to be sin for us. He knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And when you and I come to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross is our way to heaven, guess what happens? God becomes our Father. Look over in chapter 1, John chapter 1. John chapter 1. And in John chapter 1, the Bible says this in verse 11, Jesus came to his own, but his own received him not. But verse 12 says, but as many as what? Received him, to them gave he the power, the right, or the authority to become the sons of who? God, even to them that believe on his name. If you'll believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to save you, to give you that spiritual birth, you'll be born into God's family and God will become your what? Father. That brings up a real interesting question. Does that mean that all the unsaved people out in the world don't have the right to pray to God? Well, they can talk to God as their creator, But they don't have that relationship before they can talk to God as their what? Father. When you talk to God as your Father, there's a little something to it that's more special than just talking to Him as your Creator. Right? And Jesus was saying to His disciples in John chapter 16, hey guys, I want you to talk to the Father. And I want you to talk in My name. And guess what? He's going to answer your prayers. He's going to begin to do things for you that's just going to amaze you. And that's one of the resources we have as God's people. And no matter what we're going through in life, that we've got the privilege of talking to God in prayer about those things. Back in John chapter 16, Jesus said in verse 24, hitherto have you asked nothing in My name. John 16, verse 24. He says, up to this point, you've asked nothing in My name, but now I want you to ask, and ye shall what? Receive, and your joy will be what? Full. Can I encourage you this morning to learn to handle your adversities in life through prayer? Learn to handle your adversities in life through prayer. We may be called upon to go through some great adversities in life, but nothing we face will ever be too great for God to handle. You say, but it's too big for me. That's right. That's why we talk to the Father. That's why we commit it in His hand. Because nothing is too great for Him. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or even think. Isn't that amazing? Our God's able to do that. In Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 3, He spoke to the prophet Jeremiah, and He said, Jeremiah, call unto Me. Call unto Me. Pray out to Me, Jeremiah, and I'll answer thee, and I'll show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 11, He encourages us. He says, if your earthly fathers who are evil, who are sinful, know how to give good gifts unto you as their children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to those who ask Him? Pray. Talk to God. It's a little chorus. It talks about having a little talk with Jesus. You know that little chorus? Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Let us tell Him all about our troubles. He will hear our faintest cry. He will answer by and by. Now when you feel a little prayer well turning, you will know a little fire well burning. Just find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. You're supposed to be a real bass singing that, Brother Richard, okay? But it's a good little chorus to learn. I just need to have a little talk with who? Jesus. Having a little talk with Jesus makes things right. You know, the Lord invites us in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7 to cast all our cares upon Him because He cares for you. Let's look at that verse. 1 Peter chapter 5, it might encourage you here this morning. 1 Peter chapter 5. You see, the Lord's given us resources with which to handle our trials and testings in life. Spiritual resources. And here in 1 Peter chapter 5, the Bible says this in 1 Peter chapter 5 in verse 7. Notice the Scripture says this. In 1 Peter chapter 5 in verse 7, casting all your what? Care upon Him, for He what? Careth for you. So the Bible says that there's not a thing that we're going through in life that we cannot take and cast it upon the Lord. Casting all our cares upon Him, because He does care for us. You know, sometimes we fail to hear from God because we fail to talk to God. Have you thought about that? We fail to hear from God because we fail to talk to God. James chapter 4, verse 2 says, you have not because you ask not. It's a convicting thought to realize that you may not get something from God. I may not get something from God merely because we didn't ask Him. Is that not a convicting thought? You know, sometimes we really struggle. We have special events and we invite all these people to come and our people don't show up. I wonder sometimes if some of those people who don't show up are because we really didn't pray over it. We didn't ask the Lord, you know, Lord, who do you want me to invite? Didn't pray about the response to the invitation. of coming. And we need to learn to pray about everything in life. Everything in life. We don't want to be guilty of not having because we don't ask. But then James goes on and says, well, also sometimes you don't have because you're just asking amiss, that you may consume it upon your own what? Lust. Sometimes you don't hear from God because you're asking just a selfish prayer. It's out of the will of God for you. So we want to pray, and we want to pray within the will of God and be confident in our prayers. Remember, as we pray, that as God's people, we've got to keep static off the line. Sin in our lives will hinder our prayers. Psalm 66 and verse 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not what? Hear me. Yet I have the promise in Psalm 84 and verse 11 that if I walk uprightly, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk how? Uprightly. We've got a God that knows how to answer prayers. We need to be people who learn to pray. It's a spiritual resource. Going through trials, common lot in life. Lord hasn't left us alone. We've got the Holy Spirit within us. We've got the faith in a victorious Christ. We've got the privilege of prayer, of talking to God. One last thing, and then I'll be done. Go back to John chapter 16 real quickly. There are four resources in this. And the last resource, and I just mentioned it real quickly, and then we'll be done. And the last resource is this, God's special love for his own. God's special love for his own. And so we see that here in John chapter 16 and verses 27 through 32. In verses 27 through 32, it says, for the Father loveth you. Look at what he says to his disciples. He says, the Father loves you because ye have what? Love me. And you believe that I came out from God. He says, I came forth from the Father and am come into the world again. I leave the world and go unto the Father. And his disciples said unto him, lo, thou speakest now plainly and speakest no proverb. Verse 30, now are we sure that thou knowest all things and needest not that any man should ask thee, but this we believe, that thou camest forth from who? God. They finally say, Lord, we're convinced you've come from the Father. And Jesus says, because you're convinced and you believe I come from the Father, hey, the Father loves you. He's not talking about love in the sense of John 3:16, God loving everybody. He's talking about the Father's got a special love for you. And do you know, if you're a child of God, the Lord's got a special love for you? Because you are his child, and he is your what? Father. And no matter what you go through in life, nothing will ever change that. Nothing will ever change that. The Lord's got a special love for you. He's got a special love for all of his people. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 8 that nothing will ever separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Spiritual resource. You can carry it with you. Going through trials, hey, get your chin up. The Father still loves you. And he's not forsaking you. And he's going to help you. And he'll carry you through. And everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. Jesus said, these things I've spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But cheer up. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the four resources for facing our troubles and trials in life. Let's pray.